My name is Ridha, and I'm currently working as a junior doctor. All my opinions are my own and not a reflection of the hospital I work with or New South Wales Health. A ceasefire has been brokered between Israel and Hezbollah and the Lebanese government by France and the USA, two of the greatest nations in the world with unforgettable legacies that will stain history forever. After all, we have the France that, according to the Iran, has significant responsibility side in 1994. And the USA in its countless atrocities, such as the atomic bomb, Agent Orange, or its murder of a million Iraqis and then humiliation of the living innocent Iraqis in Abu Ghraib prison. Shame. It only makes sense then that the ceasefire makes specific reference to any non-government parties in Lebanon from means of any self-defense, with no reference to Israel, whilst there have been 1,500 acts of settler violence in the West Bank since October 7. Shame.
Shame.
Israel has crossed as many red lines as it has the blue line. The ceasefire comes after the Israeli forces have killed 4,000 people in Lebanon, injured 16,000, and displaced estimates from anywhere between 100,000 and 1 million people in Lebanon. And this is in a country that holds the largest number of refugees per capita and per square meter in the world. UNHCR have estimated that since Israel's escalation on Lebanon, which has disproportionately affected the vulnerable populations of the south of Lebanon, that more than half of Lebanon is now living below the poverty line. Only 5% of Lebanon is food secure, and 84% of Lebanese people need medications that they cannot access. In another line of Israeli tactics, the World Bank has estimated that Israel's indiscriminate destruction of civilian infrastructure has cost $2.8 billion in damages to residential homes alone. Shame. And now, since the ceasefire, the Israeli occupation forces have yesterday published a map of the entire blue line and warned citizens to not return to the 60 villages labelled. Temporarily, of course, as if we haven't heard this narrative before. I do hope that this ceasefire provides some relief to Lebanon, but even then, the attrition of Gaza will continue. As the temperature drops, people will be forced to gather in crowd more than ever. And so the current number of 10,000 under 5-year-olds being treated between June and November by MSF at Nasser Hospital for upper respiratory tract infections will inevitably climb higher. So you see, a standard Sydney pediatrics department may have upwards of 30 patients. At Nasser Hospital, 300 patients are treated every day just in the pediatrics department. Nasser Hospital is one of 17 partially functioning hospitals in Gaza out of the 36. And in that, many hospitals continue to be under evacuation orders and continue to be directly attacked. It was only in early October that Israeli forces besieged the three main hospitals in northern Gaza, Indonesian Al-Awda and Kamal Adwan, while hundreds of patients were still reportedly inside. Shame. Dr. Mohammed Obaid, an MSF orthopedic surgeon, stated, "There are no words to describe the situation in Kamal Adwan Hospital. It is disastrous. The hospital is completely overwhelmed. There are injured people everywhere, outside and inside the hospital, and we do not have the medical and surgical equipment to treat them. Ambulances cannot move. We cannot reach the bodies of the people killed, and we cannot save the injured ones on the street who lie in the streets. Many of them died before reaching the hospital, and others died inside the hospital as we could not treat those wounds." Dr. Mohammed Obaid has been detained by Israeli forces and missing since the 26th of October. He is one of hundreds of healthcare workers who have been detained. Meanwhile, yesterday, Dr. Mohammed Khalout, the ICU director of the same hospital, was killed, and he is only one of 1,000 healthcare workers who have been killed since October 7. Shame. Many of us here are healthcare workers. Imagine my fate if I had been born in my parents' Lebanon and became a doctor there. Would the pager I hold daily have been the agent of my death? I'm changed by every Sydney and treat in Sydney. I cannot imagine the horror of treating a pediatric gunshot wound. I can't keep pretending that we are all the same. It is true, as the government likes to say, that there are gaps to bridge in the name of social cohesion, because I can't stand people who do not value people from my culture and my ethnicity. Shame. The opposition leader, Peter Dutton, suggested that the tourist visas to Palestinian refugees fleeing Gaza was akin to providing safety to terrorists. Shame. But for every Dutton, we find an ally, such as Birch Grove Legal and APAN, who have filed a complaint against Peter Dutton to the AHRC. And to that end, for every Zionist there is out there that continues to spout their propaganda, there will continue to be groups like this weekly protest and the protest goers here that remain resilient and continue to remain steadfast in their support of Palestine and Lebanon. We must all persevere to continue to apply pressure on our government. And today is another protest with the aim of doing so, to pressure our government to recognize that an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza is the only solution to ease the suffering of the Gazan population and to guarantee access to healthcare and humanitarian aid. Unhindered humanitarian aid into Gaza is a crucial solution that we must continue to apply pressure on our government to advocate for. Now, on the Lebanese border, the enormous numbers of people forced to flee their homes on the account of the conflict must be able to return to their homes knowing they will be safe and can continue to live their lives. Accountability is also essential. Violations of international humanitarian law and human rights law must be investigated independently and thoroughly. Thank you all for being strong when I am weak. To quote from the poet Warsan Shire, I'm overwhelmed. My biggest downfall is my brightest blessing. I feel too much all the time. Ya Allah, if it'll keep my heart soft, break my heart every day. Thank you all.
I'm going to bring our next speaker up, who is Raneem Imad. She's spoken before. She's also an activist from Gaza, a very brave and outspoken and brilliant activist. So, Raneem, thank you.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the land on which we stand today. As we watch the genocide rage on in Gaza, we continuously stand in solidarity with our indigenous brothers and sisters who know all too well what colonialism looks like because they have experienced it at the hands of this government. Arrest warrants that proved what we all know, that the Israeli regime is ruled by war criminals and that it is rotten to the core. It then moved to the ceasefire that was reached in Lebanon that was instantly and continuously violated by Israel, again proving that this is a terrorist regime with no other intention than destruction and terrorism. Shame. And then it came to me that today actually marks 2 years since I landed in Gaza. Today, 2 years ago today, I drove through the Sinai crossing and through the Rafah border. 2 years ago today, I felt a sense of belonging and pride in my identity that I have never felt before and have never felt since. 2 years ago today, when I saw Gaza, I promised myself that I would do whatever it took to defend Gaza and that whatever I chose to do in my career and in my life, I would dedicate it to Gaza and I would use it to go back to Gaza. And now, instead of remembering Gaza, instead of planning to go back to Gaza again, I am watching it destroyed in front of my eyes. 2 years ago today, I was playing card games with my cousin in Nusayrat. Now I am watching a man run through the streets of Nusayrat after his wife, four daughters, and son were murdered. I am watching him call for an ambulance only to be forced to turn away because of Israeli soldiers shooting. Shame.
Shame.
I am hearing stories of my grandmother explain how a lethal Israeli drone entered her apartment through the balcony and it surveyed each and every single room. These drones shoot at any movement or sound. Every single one of them had to freeze out of fear that any movement would lead to their murder. I am watching the destruction of my homeland being played out like a sick science fiction movie. I am comparing pictures of the markets in Gaza to the current pictures of rubble. I am terrified at what is to come. We are all terrified at what is to come. There is complete starvation in the north of Gaza. No resources have entered for over a month, and the massacres are continuing with full strength. Just last night, we saw a man who had been hit by a smoke bomb in the head, and his dead body had smoke pouring out of it. The signs of famine that we saw months ago in North Gaza are beginning in South Gaza. Just a few days ago, three women lost their lives in a stampede in Deir al-Balah while trying to get bread. We are about to end another year and the genocide in Gaza is worsening. The massacres are not stopping, they are increasing, and there are less and less resources for the people of Gaza to rely upon while they are being butchered. Shame! The impunity of Israel means that they can bomb and besiege hospitals with absolutely zero consequences, and not only that, they can boast about fictitious military goals and expect us all to believe it. And while this is all occurring, we are witnessing the failure of our government and their absolute complicity in the genocide of Gaza. Because let's go back to the ICC arrest warrants and the absolutely shocking response in this colony. The Prime Minister of Israel was finally formally recognized as a war criminal. Did we see any form of sanctions from our government upon the occupation?
No.
Did we see the ends of relations and diplomatic ties with Israel? We saw absolutely less than the bare minimum, zero recognition of the obligations of the Australian government, to end their complicity with the current genocide. And then we saw 3 days ago, with the reaction to the ceasefire in Lebanon, Foreign Minister Penny Wong gave her hopes that this would echo in Gaza. She is issuing her prayers as if she is not the foreign minister of a country that is deeply complicit in this genocide. Our children are being massacred, and the best the international community can do is send their hopes and send their prayers. The people of Gaza deserve more. They deserve the full weight of sanctions. They deserve to witness the ends of this illegal terrorist state. And whenever I feel overwhelmed by the destruction of the Gaza I visited 2 years ago, whenever I sit and cry to myself about the homeland that I have lost, I remind myself that the end of the occupation is slowly happening. In Nam, the state government confirmed that it will not be renewing their contract with Elbit Systems, who creates the drones that fly through the apartments of Gaza. That did not happen because the Premier had a moral awakening. We saw her reaction to the Christmas windows in Melbourne. It happened because the people dragged their government there. And we welcome this announcement, but we also say that it has not stopped there. In February 2024, the federal government renewed a 5-year contract of almost $1 billion with Elbit Systems. That contract must be rescinded. We must show our governments that the people of Gaza are worth more to us than any form of contract, and we will fight for however long it takes to prove that point. We will continue fighting and resisting because the people of Gaza deserve freedom. They deserve to be able to rebuild into the Gaza that I saw 2 years ago. And way beyond that, they deserve complete liberation. And it is up to us to fight for that. Thank you.